It's 12 o'clock noon on Monday, May 4th, 2026. I'd like to call the Petersburg Borough Assembly regular meeting to order. With that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Lynn.
Here.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor.
Here.
Member Martin.
Here.
Member Mucci.
Here.
Member Newman.
Here.
Member Schwartz.
Here.
Member Valentine.
Here.
Okay. We have a full assembly present in the assembly chambers today. And with that, I'll move on to the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have then one set of minutes on here to approve the regular assembly minutes, meeting minutes for April 13th, 2026. The meeting for the clerk says the April 20th, 26 minutes will be presented for approval on the May 18th agenda. And with that, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the April 13th, 2026 meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Member Stanton Gregor, second by Member Valentine. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Moving on here, I need a motion to approve the agenda as is presented.
So move.
Okay. Second.
Moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Valentine. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll on the agenda as presented?
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor.
Yes.
Member Martin.
Yes.
Member Valentine.
Yes.
Member Newman.
Yes.
Member Schwartz.
Yes.
Member Mucci.
Yes.
Mayor Lynn.
Yes. When that passes 7-0. Today, there are no public hearings on the schedule. There's no bid awards. And so for that, I'll move on to persons to be heard related to today's agenda. Is there anybody in the room that would like to talk about items on today's agenda? If so, please come forward, state your name, who you represent, and you have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Hi, Tom Kowalski, speaking for myself. And I just learned this morning that the Alaska Department of Health just announced a $1 billion grant, and the grant is called the Safe Streets and Roads for All. It's for communities that need to redo their roads or make improvements, make them safer. We all live in places where we have to drive through some streets that are quite often plagued with potholes, and then of course we have the dust we have to deal with when it dries up. You know, some of these issues, minor sometimes, are major issues. If you happen to be in an ambulance and you're driving down one of these streets, they got to put that IV in there, and they do it while the ambulance is running. They can't stop and do it. That doesn't fit the role of healthcare when you're trying to be rushed to the hospital and get this medication into your vein. And then the other part of that is, of course, kids riding their bikes. Seen a couple kids riding on my street, Cornelius, dodging potholes and not really looking out for cars coming because they're dodging potholes. It's just not a safe situation. So this grant, they're trying to give it away in $2 to $5 million blocks. And so, you know, it's out there. I say go get it. Another thing I want to speak on is about the data centers. And so there's been some work done. I appreciate all the work that's gone into it to answer questions and concerns from the community. There's still a few questions I'd like to see answered. And one of those questions is what happens when we're restricted? I think I mentioned it before, when we're restricted by low water and the Tai'i plant can't produce as much power as we need, or even when we're under diesel generation. How is that going to be applied when we're maxed out on power with the data center? The other part of that is what happens to our growth in the comprehensive plan. It mentions that we need to try and reach maybe 300 homes in the 10 years of this plan, and we're halfway through it. And You know, I think we need another couple hundred homes. So is maxing out our power with this data center going to interfere with our ability to grow in the future? And lastly, what I'd like to say is I am trying, just like all the rest of the residents here that don't sit in your seats, that don't have to make the decisions you make, we try to do is gather information for you and bring issues to mind that do require some work on your part to fact check and to act on. And a lot of us feel like that's not happening. And when it doesn't happen, there's not a whole lot of transparency and why it's not happening. It's discussions. This discussion keeps popping up. And I just wanted to say that, you know, we are your most valuable resource. We are the ones that do the work and point things out to you and your people. Without the people, you're nothing. You're absolutely nothing. And if you don't give us the time and day, if you don't let us speak, if you don't have interactions with us, like a dialogue between you guys and us a long time ago with these towers, you know, maybe we wouldn't have another tower going up on Skylark now. So they're popping up everywhere. You know, you need to get ahead of this thing. We're still willing to work with you guys, still willing to have a work session, a real live, let's figure this thing out and try and snip this thing before it gets too ugly. Anyway, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else who would like to talk to items on today's agenda?
I have two items that I'd like to discuss. My name is Joshua Adams, and I'm with the Planning Commission. The first one has to do with the communications towers overlay. Before Petersburg had a clearly defined ordinance relating regarding communications towers, Tidal Network bought whatever property was for sale around town for the undisclosed purpose of erecting wireless infrastructure in Petersburg. Now GCI wants in on the deal. Before this thing turns into a free-for-all, we need to think about how, and more importantly, where we're going to allow towers to be placed in our community. It is a contentious issue. At some point, we have to stop looking at what is legally permissible and start seeking solutions. And that's why for the last few months, we at the Planning Commission have been tackling the question, how do we partner up with large corporations that have a vested interest in our community without getting exploited? How do we handle something this big without becoming small? The communications tower overlay is a negotiated solution that works for everyone. But the assembly has to have the courage to say no to the current proposed tower sites. Only then can we provide an alternative that works for everyone. Another aspect of this problem has to do with land use. And this is important, and it's rarely mentioned. A lot with a tower on it cannot have another type of construction because that property has to be 110% as wide as the tower is tall. It's a safety issue. These towers will eat up usable lots in areas better used for housing and commerce. And that's part of our tax base. A lot of us remember the flower farm out at Papke's. If Tidal Network plops a tower there, it's all that will ever be. A business like the flower farm fits well into a neighborhood. A 10-story communications tower does not. Let's be honest with ourselves. Steel towers debase the value of your land. People are already contesting their property assessments over this, and they're not wrong because they are losing the value of their properties. The communications tower overlay is a solution involving a combination of borough and Forest Service land that provides communications tower sites that do not debase the value of our neighborhoods. It's a win-win for everyone, including our partners. I have another subject that I'd like to talk about that has to do with Andrew Mazzella and the new data center that's proposed. I don't know if I have time to get into that, if I should do that right now.
You're fine.
I want to say that Petersburg is at a crossroad. This is also a very important issue. And I may zig where other people zag on this. So buckle up. We have an aging, dwindling population and an economy with a single failure point. We've been asking ourselves for decades, without fishing, what are we left with? Logging, mining, seasonal tourism? Petersburg is still staking its claim on a delicate, environment-based economy with a single failure point. Many alternative businesses that we might attract are suffering from rising shipping costs. Our geographic isolation doesn't help either. Andrew Mazzella has found an answer. to this niggling problem. He is offering us a new source of revenue and a means to diversify an economy that is precariously dependent on factors beyond our control. Carl Hagerman calculates that we have somewhere around 2 megawatts of surplus electric power when it's 13 degrees outside. Right now, we have a lot more than that. So there's a lot of unused electricity that we're selling back to Ketchikan. There is no advantage to not using that power in our community. Conversely, by making full use of our hydro-generated electricity, we can lower our electric rates and open the door to a new and sustainable economy for our town. But wait, there's more. Most of the data centers in the Midwest are being built in Texas, where they're paying to get rid of their waste heat. Again, waste heat. Did you know that up to 30% of the overall electrical burden of a data center in Texas goes toward cooling the ASIC chips inside the processors? In Alaska, we pay for heat. Every one of those data centers should be in Alaska. Those 2 megawatts of electricity that will service Mozilla's mini data center will produce heat, lots of heat. And pay attention, because this is exactly what Wrangell is getting wrong with their data center. They simply gave land to a nameless corporation and said, go ahead and do your thing. No, data centers are heat plants. We should be integrating that with our public infrastructure so that we can take advantage of the enormous opportunity that this data center presents, free heat. We can plug directly into the ASIC chip closed loop system that use this data center as a heat source for a half a city block, and it's free. It's completely sustainable. Finland is already doing this. It's called district heating. Look it up, Helsinki district heating. Anyway, we've been searching for a way to diversify our economy for decades, and we don't figure this out, it's gonna figure us. So pay attention. Thanks so much for listening, and thank you for all the hard work that you've been doing.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else who would like to talk to items on related to today's agenda? Okay, please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Micah Klein, I'm speaking for myself. I just, a couple of months ago, Planning and Zoning worked on some ordinance language with in relation to towers and even a little bit about data centers. I'm just wondering where the timeline on that is getting. I've inquired and I haven't got a solid timeline. And over 300 people that have actively invested in, even more, that come and talk to us all the time about where we're at with the cell towers and things. And people really want to see something on the books here, some ordinance language, and I haven't gotten a clear timeline of when we can see that on your agenda. And so I'm hoping that maybe you guys can push for when that is, because what's happening now is they're going up. You know, people, these companies are finding opportunities and wiggling in there and going to have these towers up before we even have an ordinance that addresses them. So I'm hoping that maybe we can push, because I know it's being worked on with the attorney and stuff, but it's been a couple of months, and so I'm just wondering where we're at with that, because we're going to have towers up before we even have an ordinance. And I would really strongly urge that we see that ordinance language before you guys and the community, before we continue negotiations on the fire hall parcel with title. Thank you.
Mike, I can address part of that. Tentatively, I plan to have that on the agenda if you can get through the attorney at the next assembly meeting.
Excellent. Thank you.
There'll be three readings of that.
Correct. Thank you for that.
Hi, Judy Omer, and today I'm reading for Rebecca Knight, who couldn't be here. I was unable to be here today. Thank you for allowing a speaker in my place for a short statement. I join many Petersburg residents in their valid concerns for our small community with the proliferation of proposed and existing cell towers and data centers on Mitkoff Island. A borough moratorium should be enacted immediately to put a hold on such expansion until the impacts can be better and fully analyzed. Just because the proposed Green Spark data center is perceived as small does not excuse it from adverse impacts on Petersburg borough residents. The NEPA process, that's the National Environmental Policy Act, the NEPA process would force full disclosure and analysis of the impacts of these projects. The trigger for a NEPA analysis is if a proposal is likely to have quote, significant adverse environmental impacts, unquote, both cell towers and data center construction and operation qualify despite any pass that the FCC may have granted for such projects. I request that the borough request full implementation of the NEPA process for cell towers and data center construction and operation. I believe Mayor Lynn fully understands the NEPA process as he worked with it during his career with the Forest Service. While the borough's analysis is well-intended and informative, there are likely many issues that were not considered and that the authors are unaware of. That's where the public gets involved with the NEPA process, to raise issues that were not fully considered or even addressed. For instance, interference with existing uses, bandwidth limitations, network outages, geographic limitations, and accessibility are but some of the issues. The so-called low hum of the proposed data center facility should be better disclosed. And of course, the potential for catastrophic fire, as Emergency Service Director Hankins raised, should be thoroughly vetted. Of course, the developers paint a rosy scenario, as any developer would. These projects could well be just the foot in the door to other unforeseen impacts and connected actions. For instance, where are the impacts for a microgrid, as GreenSpark may be considering? As you likely are aware, Petersburg opposition is not unique. There is nationwide opposition to this new technology in communities and on the landscape, whether they are perceived as large or small. For instance, the city of Seattle is wisely in the process of enacting a one-year moratorium on a large data center due to concerns over high energy demand, environmental impacts, and increased utility rates for residents. The state of Maine is enacting a similar moratorium. There are plenty more in the works. I request that the borough consider a moratorium until these issues surrounding such developments be thoroughly vetted via a NEPA process. Sincerely, Becky Knight.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else who would like to talk to items on related to today's agenda? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Related.
Yeah. Anybody else on related today's agenda? Okay. Seeing none, is there anybody on Zoom?
Yes, I do have, Andrew Mazzella has his hand raised.
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me all right?
We can, Andrew. You have the floor, go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Andrew Mazzella, CEO of Mazzella Alaska here. And I wanted to say a few words regarding Assembly Item D, Maritime Prosperity Zone. I have discussed this topic with several assembly members as part of a larger vision I have for Petersburg that would cement the prosperity and recognition of Little Norway as one of the greatest waterfront communities in the world. In their last several meetings, the Wrangell Assembly has been positioning itself as a candidate for a new Coast Guard icebreaker home port. Part of the reason for them designating themselves as a maritime prosperity zone, along with Ketchikan. The fact that Petersburg was not in the discussion to be included in this is a slight at best, and in business, what we would consider an act of war amongst fierce competitors. And I do not exaggerate by saying that. When it comes to big time federal government contracts, investment, and trickle down prosperity for the entire community, we are not sister cities, as an assembly member stated in the last meeting. And that was certainly not the mindset I or anyone I grew up with in Petersburg had when Coach Schwartz and Coach Brock took our teams around Southeast, crushing opponents and looking to win regionals and then state, which they successfully did during my formative years. They were not looking to be friends with these communities, but rather come out on top. That is what a true business mindset is, and that must be what it is to survive at the scale of my company investment in Petersburg and the Petersburg Borough leadership. You guys are running a large business. Additionally, the fact that Petersburg staff and leadership has not proactively and previously pursued this maritime designation is an abject failure of their duties, looking out for the best interest of the borough and its citizens by taking advantage of these opportunities as they come. I began pushing this issue multiple months ago to local government, as well as with state and federal government leaders, literally anyone I can get in touch with. And even still, I'm doing the same. I'm working on getting a meeting with President Trump directly regarding this, as well as Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, who oversees the Coast Guard. And today, I'm publicly stating what I intend to spearhead as a private developer, hopefully with the full support and resources of Petersburg's governing bodies, staff, and community, starting right now. To be very clear, the points I previously mentioned are not intended to be unconstructive criticism of anyone, but rather a wake-up call that we need to act right now for the future of Petersburg, and the clock is ticking. The federal government weeks ago announced two new icebreakers would be home ported in Alaska, but the locations are yet to be determined. What that means is they're looking at locations and potentially have top contending waterfront communities already identified as we speak. The reason I bring this forward today is my company, Mazella Alaska, owns objectively the greatest existing icebreaker home facility in the state at our pier and deep water dock and infrastructure between Middle and North Harbors in downtown Petersburg. With a current 300-foot mooring face, it is one of the only appropriate sized facilities I know of that is needed and can be expanded even further onto tide land that I privately own, increasing the size ship that can dock there specifically if needed for an icebreaker. Neither the borough nor any other private entity owns anything close to the specifications needed for a Coast Guard icebreaker that this facility already has. On top of that, the office, housing, warehousing, and additional moorage make this property what should be the number one contender for an icebreaker home port in Alaska. The level of investment that an icebreaker home port would bring to Petersburg is on a scale that most people cannot comprehend, hundreds of millions of dollars. This would not just go into the port itself, but help with one of the biggest issues in Petersburg, which is housing. The crew and families of a new home port would require a significant development of new housing, and on a scale that would allow my companies and other builders to develop potentially a whole new subdivision with possibly tens of new homes in addition to what is needed by the Coast Guard. This is the type of scale that is required in order to make a dent in the housing issue due to economy of scale. What that means is affordable houses are very hard to pencil out due to the tight margins of making them affordable. However, if we're looking at, say, 50 houses, just as an example, it would make a lot more business sense, and that is what is needed to get affordable housing built. In summary here, a key point is regarding, a key point regarding the intention I have for an icebreaker specifically is that this is in no way competition, nor does it take away from any of the borough projects, such as Scow Bay, and also in addition to, for example, Coast Guard Cutter, or other class of ships the Coast Guard may want to bring into Petersburg's other harbors. It is, however, directly competition with any other community in all of Alaska, because this is a top dog is going to win these one of these two home ports. I'm at the full service of the community and the assembly and the staff of Petersburg, and I look forward to immediate future discussions regarding this topic, and thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else who would like to talk about items related to today's agenda?
Hi, Lisa Browning, speaking for myself. I think this is probably already one of the questions that might be asked, but this was just perfect timing with Mr. Mazzella's statement. And what happens now when that 2-megawatt transformer is committed to the data center? And now we're developing the property, we're bringing in additional homes. Where's that power gonna come from? If we're maxing out the third turbine at Tai'i already, or you know, it's not even built yet, and that's already what's gonna power this transformer, where's all the rest of that power gonna come from? So just curious. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to items related to today's agenda? Okay, is there anybody else on Zoom?
No, there's no one.
Okay, thank you. With that, I'm going to move on then to items unrelated to today's agenda. Is there anybody that would like to talk to items unrelated to today's agenda?
Yes, hello. I'm Joni Johnson, a Forest Service Invasive Species Coordinator, and I just, for awareness for assembly members in the community, there's some upcoming work that will be happening on Lower Raven Trail. And there are a couple of maintenance issues. One, of course, that I'm interested in, just the invasive plant spread that's heading up to the cabin, and then vegetation contributing to erosion. So really, there's an invitation. There are a couple of opportunities. There's a manual work day, the 8th and 9th of May, and then there's an Adopt-a-Trail program. And you can reach out to me for that. But also, I wanted to let folks know that at some point in late May, the lower trail will be closed for a day to allow for localized foliar spot spray or wiping of just reed canary grass in a few places along the trail. So it's kind of there's grubbing, there's pulling, and then there are a few places where we'll be doing some herbicidal treatment with Roundup Custom, low volume and contained. But I wanted everyone to know that, and it will be posted and announced on KFSK, but let me know if you have questions, and you being the public as well. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else that would like to talk to items unrelated, please come forward, state your name, and who you represent.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Payne, and I am speaking today on behalf of the Community Center and Parks and Recreation. As you all know, we've been dealing with the Aquatic Center sewer issues for many years now with respect engineering, and it has been a very long and arduous process that has included many people and departments. We would like to thank the Assembly, Manager Giesbrecht, Jody Tao, and our community members and patrons for their ongoing support and patience as we work through it all. Our Public Works Department have been with us since the beginning, trying to diagnose the underlying issues that we were experiencing. This includes Martin's crew, along with our wastewater team. Petersburg Municipal Power and Light crew, along with Carl and Steve Harbor, have been working diligently with us and Mattingly Electric to understand the electrical complexities that we must navigate through. Ketchikan Mechanical is teamed up with Rainforest Contracting to conquer the project and attend numerous meetings to ensure that we are all working together to get this project moving forward and ensure that we are in good hands. The school and VSC have graciously prepared to alter their schedules to accommodate the project schedule, understanding the need to be flexible in order to make it happen. Devron at Homeport Electronics will be helping us safeguard our computers and set up a workstation to help receive our patrons in a safe location away from the project site. And most of all, the Parks and Rec staff for working around our facility deficits and deficiencies to the best of our ability while accommodating our patrons the best that we can. Some of you have seen contractors moving around the Aquatic Center this week included, as we conduct our ground penetrating radar session, and you will see more to come. Rainforest Contracting will be beginning their work at the facility on Monday, May 18th. So please continue to be patient as we work through this project throughout the summer months. We understand the numerous benefits of our Aquatic Center for our patrons, and we will have the center open when and only when it is safe to do so. This project is a moving target, and so we are really not able to give a set schedule or a timeline as to when patrons will be able to use the facility. And this, again, is just on the aquatic side. The gymnasium side is all going to be the same. In the very near future, you will see a different check-in and location and process, and we will keep everybody informed as we go. This project timeline is May 18th through August 29th. Again, we thank everybody for their support and their patience. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation. Anybody else like to talk to items unrelated to today's agenda? Okay. Anybody on Zoom?
No, there's no one.
Okay. I'll move on then. Today there's no board commission committee reports. Then I'll move to the consent agenda. On the consent agenda, there's three items on today's agenda, and I will take those one at a time. The first item on the agenda is the Moose Lodge Club alcohol license renewal. The Moose Lodge has applied to the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office to renew their club alcohol license. AMCO has determined the application to be complete. and a local governing body may support or protest the renewal within 60 days of the notice of filing the application. Do I have a motion to approve the renewal of the Moose Lodge alcohol license?
So moved. Second.
Been moved by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Martin. Any discussion? Would the clerk please call the roll on the renewal of the Moose Club alcohol license?
Member Meachie?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Thank you. That passes 7-0. The second item on the consent agenda is the El Zarape LLC license renewal. El Zarape has applied with the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office to renew their restaurant eating place license. AMCO has determined the application to be complete. A local governing body may support or protest the renewal within 60 days of the notice of filing the application. Do I have a motion to approve the renewal of that license?
So moved. Second.
Been moved by Member Valentine, I think by Member Martin, seconded by Member Martin. Any discussion? Okay, again, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Meachie?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
That approval of El Zarape license renewal is approved 7-0. The last item on the consent agenda is engagement of outside counsel providing bond counsel services. Finance Director Tao requests approval of Kutek Rock LLP for bond counsel services to provide legal support and ensure compliance with applicable laws for the borough's bond financing activities. A letter from Kutek Rock is attached. Do I have a motion to approve the engagement of Kutek Rock LLP for a bond as bond counsel?
So moved. Second.
Okay. Moved by Member Valentine, seconded by Member Stanton Gregor. Discussion. And with that, I think, Jody, it'd probably be good if you would kind of give an overview of what the intent is here and why we're looking for bond counsel.
Sure. Our past bond counsel, Cindy Cartledge, she has retired, and there are no other bond counsels in Alaska, actually, that work on issuing GO bonds. So we had to go outside. We were recommended by the Alaska Bond Bank, a few different companies, and this is the one. Sarah Heidemann and myself have talked with Kutek Rock, and we support hiring them for this position. So in the short term, this company will help us with issuing GO bonds for Power and Light for the rest of the standby diesel generator money that we need.
Other questions? Member Meachie.
Yeah, thank you. How do we, is the fee that we pay this based on the bond that we're going to be putting up?
Yeah, it'll be a fixed amount, most likely, and that will come before the assembly to approve as well. And it will come out of the bond proceeds when we issue them.
Thank you.
Other questions for the finance director? Okay. Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll on engagement of Kutek Rock LLP for bond counsel service?
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Meachie?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Okay. And the approval passes 7-0. Moving on to the report of other officers, the first is there's a report in here from the Petersburg Medical Center. I don't think that the CEO Hofstetter is here today. He did send me a note just a while ago that we have received, or the hospital has received, a certificate of need of approval for the MRI machine, and their intent is to have that operational within at the hospital within 30 days. So, moving on to that, second item on here was a report from District Ranger Case on Forest Service activities.
Hi, good afternoon. My name's Carrie Case, for anybody that doesn't know me, and I'm the district ranger here in Petersburg for the Forest Service. I wanted to say thank you to the public that turned out on April 23rd for our Forest Plan draft content community workshop. It was well attended for a sunny day, so I appreciate people making that sacrifice. We are currently at the end of the 45-day comment period, and so we're at the beginning of this process for the draft content related to what will eventually turn into an environmental impact statement for a new forest plan. That comment period ends on the 6th, so coming up on Wednesday. After that, there will be a 90-day comment period when the draft environmental impact statement is released. I did want to let you know if the borough would at any point in time like to have a meeting with the forest plan team. I can set that up. You can ask questions and things like that. So I wanted to put that out to you. If there was interest in that, please let me know at any time and I can facilitate that occurring. We are accessing our new building starting today. We will hopefully be having our first day of work downtown in the new district office on the 12th, so next Tuesday, and hopefully back open to the public on the 14th. So we're excited about that. We really appreciate the great work the contractor has done throughout the process of renovating that building, and we are in the process of moving back downtown, all of us. Everybody that works for the Forest Service will now be located downtown starting the 12th. I wanted to put just a plug out there. Roads are opening up. Weather's getting better, which is nice. Rec sites are being used. I know that trash, garbage is always an issue. We do have staff that goes out at least once a week to our rec sites. If there is overflow of garbage, please don't set it outside of the garbage container. Please, if you can take it with you, pack your trash out. If those are full, that would be great. We do try to provide a clean, well-maintained service to folks at our existing rec sites, but if garbage is left out, animals will get into it and it will get spread around. So that's just a plug as you start to enjoy your time out the road. So that's all I had for today. Do you have any questions for me?
Any questions for Member Valentine?
Everyone's moving here. What happens to the building out there? Still Forest Service use?
It's going to be converted back into its original state, which was a warehouse. Yep.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Yep. We'll convert that back into cages and storage space. And there'll be a few, if we get to a point where we start to hire folks again and exceed the capacity of the building downtown, there'll be a few workstations out there. But basically, we're kind of consolidating our footprint and all of our storage will be out there. Yep.
Thank you. Yep.
Other questions for Ranger Case? Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Moving on here, next item on the agenda was Petersburg School Superintendent Robin Taylor will present a report on school district activities. Robin, you've got the floor.
All right. Well, for those who don't know, I am Robin Taylor. I'm the superintendent for the Petersburg School District. Not a lot of new information to report. Just we're excited as the year is wrapping up. We just have a few weeks left. It is Teacher Appreciation Week, and so I would encourage anyone to reach out and thank their students' teacher or teachers who, like Mr. Schwartz, who have worked with our kids over the years. And I just also like to note in there, it's not just the teachers who are pouring their heart and soul into our students in our school community. It's also the secretaries, the support staff, and so the custodians, the nutrition program. So just thank the staff members as you see them, because they do all want what's best for our students. Speaking of students, we have music programming coming up here this week on the 7th and 8th. The 7th, the 3rd through 5th grade concert will be held. On the 8th, the kindergarten through 2nd grade concert will be held. And also the morning of the 8th is our teen health fair. Then the middle and high school will be the week of the 18th. So on Monday, the 18th, will be the high school concert. And the 20th, Wednesday, will be the middle school concert. With the seniors' graduation already coming up on June 1st, Monday, June 1st. So just want to make sure if you're looking for just a full calendar of events, you can go to the pcsd.us website to really get a calendar of everything that's happening, because even though we're in spring and getting ready to shut down for the year, we still have a lot of events taking place between music and baseball and track. There's a lot happening. So again, just want to give a plug to Teacher Appreciation Week and all that our staff do, but that's really what all I have to share this week.
Any questions for Superintendent Keeler? Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
All right.
It.
Have a great day.
I'm going to move on here. The next part of the agenda is the Waterworth presentation on the fiscal year 2027 electric and wastewater rates. And so with that, I think I get to turn it over to our utility director back here. Is that where it goes? Oh, okay, on the line. Okay, I'm not sure who's in charge here, Carl, but with